You're listening to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts on New England's News and Talk Radio 830 WCRN. Once again, here's your hosts, John Featherston and Terry Hendricks.
Good Sunday morning, New England. You're tuned to All Politics is Local, WCRN 830. All Politics is Local, MA.com on the web. All Politics is Local, MA.com. Join the conversation. If you have a nice story about Barbara Anderson, please call in 508-871-7000. That's 508-871-7000. We're still joined on the phone by Chip Faulkner with Citizens for Limited Taxation. Chip, what's the future look like in Massachusetts? We've got the legislature pushing down this millionaire tax proposal on the citizens.
And yeah, that's going to be our next big project. And the graduated income tax, for maybe your listeners who are not familiar with it, the graduated income tax would tax people at higher rates as their income increased. And Massachusetts is one of these states that you pay a flat rate on your income. So, for example, if you make $20,000, you pay 5%, 5.1% actually.
Well, actually, if you're only making $20,000, you're probably not paying much income tax at all.
Right, you're probably getting big deductions. But if you make $50,000 or you make $100,000 or half a million, it doesn't matter. The rate is the same. Now, under the grad tax, if your income, let's say, went from 50 to 70, it might go from 5% to 6%, or it might go to 8%.
Right.
That's what these proponents want to do. They want to tax people at a higher rate. And we oppose that because we don't think that's fair, that just because you make more money that you should have to pay more to the government, that, you know, you pay a fat 5%, everyone pays the same rate. Now, they've tried to get this passed five separate times. In 1962, 68, 72, 1976, and the last attempt was in 1994. And every time it's been beat. And the last time it was beaten by a better than 2-to-1 margin. So people don't want higher taxes. And, you know, it's the same group that opposes, that is pushing the grad tax, that opposed us on Proposition 2.5 and the tax rollback. As I always like to say, it's the usual list of suspects, you know, the public sector unions, the Mass Teachers Association, the head of these welfare agencies, all the people who want to take money out of your pocket, they're there to propose this stuff.
Well, I'd like to clarify something. You know, the rate is at 5, or actually it's a little over 5% right now.
Right.
But let's say you're that person not making a lot of money, you're making $20,000 a year, you're probably really paying almost no state income tax, time you do deductions, et cetera. But if you're making $100,000, you know, you're going to pay $5,000 in state income tax.
Right.
Obviously, if you're a millionaire, you're going to pay $50,000. And what they're proposing right now, and they have to change the Massachusetts Constitution to do this, so millionaires will get...
Once you get it in, you'll never get it out. I mean, that's the frightening thing is it's a constitutional amendment. It's not like a law. You pass a law, if you don't like it, the legislature comes in and repeals the law or gets rid of it. You can't do that with a constitutional amendment because, first of all, they have to take two consecutive votes of the legislature. You get a minimum of 50 out of 200, 25%. So let's say it passes this year, which they'll take a vote before the end of July. And then the next session, which is 2017-2018, 2-year session, they take another vote. And assuming they get the minimum 50 out of the 200 legislators, it'll then go to the 2018 ballot. And if the voters approve it, it becomes law. And
You start with the millionaires, Chip, but do you think they're going to stop with the millionaires? Of course not. They're just going to keep pushing it down and down.
Yeah, so, you know, the average family income at $50,000 at some point will be impacted.
The last time they tried it, like I said, was 1994. And that proposal then was the higher rate would apply as someone making $50,200. They would jump from the rate of, at that time, was a 5.85% to 8.8, almost double once you made $50,200. And that's what they're going to try to get down to, because the big money is not with the millionaires. I mean, you take all the money from the millionaires, it won't come anywhere near equaling what they would get from people making, say, between $50,000 and half a million or so. That's where the money is. And we discovered that in 1994, we beat it, that that something like 80% of the money the state took in came from people making between $25,000 and $75,000. That was in 1994.
So that's probably moved up a little bit, but still.
Well, everybody always says it's the millionaires, but it's the working class people that get affected by all of this in the
end.
Well,
not only that, but let's say you're making $2 or $3 million, and all of a sudden, now you're not, instead of paying a 5% rate, you're paying a 9% rate. You know, you're going to move. You're going to move to New Hampshire. You're going to move to Florida. Yeah, and you know, it's not like you're taxing some big factory building, manufacturing plant that cannot move. You're talking about taxing someone who could just grab their laptop computer and get a suitcase and move to another state. It's very easy.
Driving out the people of the state, yeah. Hey, let's talk real quick. I got you on the phone. Chip Faulkner from Citizens for Limited Taxation. My words, this meals tax racket. you know, when I was a selectman, I worked very, very hard to not have the meals tax come in. And as soon as I got off my board of selectmen, my board put in a meals tax. It sounds good, but to me, the money's just being wasted. What's your point?
Yeah, I mean, I remember Barbara, this is one of Barbara's stories, is that she used to plan, if she went out to eat somewhere, she would plan her meals in the towns around Marblehead or in Marblehead that did not have a meals tax, because she just didn't want to give them the satisfaction of taking the money. It's just, you know, nitpicking. It's going after you on this, going after you on that, and that drives people crazy.
But, you know, it's, you know, show me the money, follow the money. I mean, it's, you know, a couple towns that I'm familiar with in the Metro West area, you know, first year earmarked it for this or that. I would challenge any citizen to go to their local town hall and go to their, accounting office and say, where's the meals tax money going right now? And you're probably going to get a deer in the headlight look. It's just in the general fund
it's
now.
It's in the general fund.
It's in the general fund.
See, and that's what would happen with the millionaire's tax. Let's say you collected, $100 million on the millionaire's tax. That and the proponents are saying, well, this is going to go to the highways, it's going to go to higher ed, it's going to go to... It will not. Not a penny will go to what they designate, because under the state constitution, you cannot make an appropriation. There's three things you cannot put on the ballot. You can't put anything to do with religion, anything to do with judiciary, anything to do with making an appropriation. So it'll go into that black hole known as the general fund. And if the legislature wants to appropriate the money for their second cousin who wants a state job or to rehab injured kittens and puppies, they can do it. They can do anything they want with it.
Well, now with the passing of Barbara, what's the future of CLT look like?
Well, we're still going on. I mean, Chip Ford is the executive director. He runs our computer operations, and I run the political action committee, and I'm available for speaking engagements, and I kind of run the day-to-day operation. But between the two of us, and who knows, we may hire a third person, but obviously Barbara's a tremendous loss. We're going to miss her, because even though she was semi-retired the last couple of years, she still couldn't stay out of it, and she would call me every couple of days and chime in on something, or she noticed in the paper or something we should be doing, and she was a great presence, but she had a firm wish that the organization stay together, and especially with the fact that the grad tax is going to be on the ballot in about 2.5 years, and that'll keep us, if nothing else, that'll keep us going.
Good.
And protecting 2.5. We have to make sure that there's, every once in a while they get something in the legislature where they'll try to bring this bill in to change 2.5 or limit its effectiveness. So we have to be careful and always on the watch for that.
Well, I was going to bring that up, is that, you know, 2.5 is, you know, they could go after that as well. Hey, tell people about the Friday morning meeting that you've been doing for many, many years.
Yeah, we have a monthly meeting. It's always the second Friday of the month in Lexington, Mass. And it's patterned after the meetings Grover Norquist has in Washington, D.C., where he gets a meeting of conservative activists, and we just exchange ideas and push issues. And I've been doing that for 15 years. And we meet on a Friday morning, come out with coffee and donuts right after 9. And we meet from 9:30 to exactly 11:30, and we have 7 or 8 people give various speeches. John Featherston was at least one of our meetings, maybe 2, I think.
I think he's going to be at another one.
Yeah, yes. And the people say, well, what's the criteria? How do we get to come? Well, for one thing, we'd like to have you to be a CLT member. You know, a membership is only $30 a year. But also, you have to not... You have to want the government to stay out of your life, and that's the criteria Grover Norquist used in D.C. He says, "I want to get people together from various constituencies, whether they're, you know, head of a town committee, whether they're head of a gun club or whatever they do. I want the government out of our lives. Leave us alone and be politically aware and." You know, like I tell people, I've had people say to me, well, gee, can I bring a friend or a cousin? I said, yes, but only if they're interested, if they're politically involved in something. And I said to them, line I've used repeatedly, it says, I don't want you to bring someone who's not registered to vote, who just wants to kill 2 or 3 hours, and when he hears the words Anita Hill, thinks it's the name of the highest elevation in the state of Iowa.
Wow, boy. Well, hey, you know, I am a proud signer of the CLT pledge not to raise taxes.
Right.
I'm very honored about it. Your Friday morning meetings are some of the best political conversation that, you know, a political nerd like myself has ever enjoyed. You know, got to meet Grover Norquist at one of your meetings.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He comes on at least once a year. He'll show up.
If you want to get involved, you want to learn more about the process, where's the Friday? I know where it is, but just for the audience, where's the Friday morning meeting held?
Well, it's in Lexington. It's in an office building off 128. It's very easy to get to. And if anyone wants to call me and ask me, I can give more details. Let me give you my phone number here. It's 508-915-3665. Again, 508-915-3665. 3665, and they call me up, and I'd be glad. And also, if they want to join CLT, we always could use more members, and they can go to our website and go on PayPal, which is www.cltg.org. That G is in there, cltg.org, and join on PayPal, and We always struggle financially. I mean, we have for years, but we always somehow manage to muddle through, and we always help by people who give donations.
Well, there you go. Hey, Chip Faulkner, thanks for taking a couple minutes and talking about Barbara Anderson. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
All right, thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Chip.
You're tuned to All Politics is Local here on WCRN 830.